Good morning.
Morning.
It's nice to be in front of you again. It's nice to see you folks. It's nice to see that we survived the week. There were many things that went on. My life changed greatly. For the first time in 20 years, I hit a deer going to my dentist, which worked out good and bad. The car's got a problem. I didn't have to go to the dentist. But they had an appointment for Thursday, so... Many of you have gotten an email and noticed something on the computer, and I'm going to read to you a note that I got from Pastor Jacob. It's about a group that's near and dear to us that ran into a little trouble. Jacob writes, "Dear friends, as you have seen on social media, Dean, Angie, and Nathan Wallendahl family are in dire need of support. Dean Wallendahl served as one time as our church's outdoor custodian. Due to a water main break, their home is now uninhabitable. Because they can no longer afford to stay in their current hotel, they are in danger of experiencing homelessness in the very near future while their home is being repaired. In addition to our regular offering, we'll be taking a special offering for their benefit today and next Sunday to help defray some of the enormous cost at this time. Please give as your heart and spirit invite you to give. If you're unable to join us in person these Sundays, but you'd still like to give, you may mail a check payable to Union Congregational Church and designate it Wallendahl Family in the memo line. We are mindful of God's call to love our neighbor and care for one another in times of distress. I know you to be a generous congregation and trust that you'll also hold them in your prayer at this time. With thanks for your generosity and love for one another, Pastor Jacob." I know this is kind of new to some of you maybe, so we're doing it both Sundays, and it was brought to my attention, which was a really good idea. There are some offering envelopes in the back, if you would put on it to the Wallendahl family, if you so wish to give, and there will be a plate or two, an offering plate or two in the back for you to contribute to there if you so desire. We are also looking, if you wish to contribute to the poinsettias, or the poinsettia fund, whichever way you want to put it. There is stuff for that on the butcher block. I took a quick glance out there earlier. There are sign-ups for the Salvation Army. We have the Christmas program coming up, and there will be practices throughout the whole month of November. We have a t-shirt thing that's going on that Becky will talk to us about in a minute. And we have a mission that is going on that Ms. Cosgrove is going to tell us about.
In addition to the offering for our local neighbors, the Wallendahls, the Mission Committee would like to remind you that there are envelopes still in the pews for our annual Neighbors in Need conference offering. And this year, 2/3 of the donations will support mental health programming, and 1/3 will support the UCC's Council for American Indian Ministries. And if you'd like a little bit more information about that, you can refer back to the newsletter article on October 30th. There was a mission article that week. Thank you.
And Becky?
Good morning. I'm up here on behalf of next year's confirmation class. They're selling t-shirts as a fundraiser to raise funds for the Youth Faith Formation Retreat that they'll be going on possibly in February and then again next year, because the more the merrier. The t-shirts are unisex sizes, and there's 3 colors. I want you to know that the colors on the table are not reflecting the colors that are available. So I do have my laptop back up in back, and Liv will help you show you the 3 colors, and so you can actually see what sangria, Neptune blue, and teal look like before you order. It is our hope that the congregation can wear them to our mission events and wherever else you would like to showcase our beautiful church and its family. Thank you.
And keep in mind, she may not be there just right away, depending on how quick or short the service is, and she's got her Christian ed people to take care of. Alana, K Can you repeat the food pantry notification?
Yeah. I got a notification from Terry. She would like, you know, hot cocoa, you know, as the colder months start rolling around. Crackers, corn muffin mix, mac and cheese, toilet paper, assorted soups, shampoo and conditioner, toothpaste, and any seasonal hygiene products.
Okay, I had a few. We had a few from everybody else. Any other announcements that need? Okay, I would be remiss if I didn't say what Jacobs puts into our hearts all the time. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are, and this will come in handy as we go through the service today, no matter who you are, where you are, what your circumstances are, you're always welcome here. No matter who you are. That says a lot, for a lot of denominations are kind of fussy as to who you are. And we want you here because of God, not anything else. As we go through today, I know many of you come from different backgrounds and the like. If something in your head or heart feels different for, like, particularly the Lord's Prayer or some of the music, by all means, use the words that you're used to. Nobody's going to frown upon that. And as Jacob once said at a meeting I was at, for those of you who use trespass, we'll wait for you to get there. Seeing nothing else, let's get started.
Please rise if you're able and join me in the call to worship. Protect us, O God. You are our refuge. The Lord is our counsel. You teach our hearts what is right and wrong. The Lord is always before us. Our hearts are glad and our spirit rejoices. You will not abandon us. You show us the path of life. Being in your presence brings us joy, peace, and love. Amen. And please join with me in our unison opening prayer. O God, our Creator and guide, we come before you this morning in the aftermath of an election that has divided our nation. We pray for your wisdom and guidance as we seek to heal old wounds and build a better future for all. We pray for our leaders. Grant them the courage and wisdom to make decisions that are in the best interest of our world and its people. Help them to set aside their own ambitions and work together for the common good. Help us to respect one another's opinions, even when we disagree. Grant us the grace to listen to one another and to seek common ground. Lastly, help us to overcome all the divisions that have plagued us and help us to come together as one people, people that understand grace, compassion, love, and peace. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
So, do we have any little people who are brave to come up and have a little time up here? And I hope you guys know what I'm going to talk about, because I'm not sure yet. Okay, it's been a while. If I can't get up because of my knees and stuff, will you pull me up later on so I can get to the standing? No. That's the last time I ask you for help. So, do we know any people or even people in our class that are kind of snooty? They think they're better than us? No? Good. Do we know any adults that kind of carry on like they're all about something and we're nothing? No? Oh, you do. Good. Someone does at least. You know, it's terrible to say, but there are people like that in this world. who think that they're better and they got to show off. And later on, we're going to talk about that. And hopefully some of those people that are over 18 get an idea of what's going on. You know, as they get bigger, sometimes they don't understand things as quick as you guys do. And do you guys ever look at somebody and because of the clothes they wear, or because of the way they comb their hair, or because their tennis shoes are a little beat up, do you think badly about them? I get a lot of no's. You guys are doing a good job raising these kids. Or they're scared terribly. Well, we're going to talk about that too, because those people that I was talking about, you know, who figure they got to be all important, some of the people they look down upon, they don't know what's going on. And those people might be having some problems too, and once they figure that out, maybe they're not as high and mighty as what they thought. So later on, I think, I probably don't got the words right, but I put in there that the only way we need to judge people is to judge them if they have love or if they have grace. And grace is a wonderful thing. That's what we got given, so that no matter what we do, no matter how silly we are or what stupid things we do, if we talk to Jesus and tell him we're sorry and ask his help, things are going to be okay. We don't have to have thousands of dollars. We don't have to have the best Trek bike. We don't have to have the parents that live in the mansion. We're good no matter what. So should we all pray, and hopefully the taller people will pray with us? I'm going to say something, I ask you to repeat with me. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us as we are. Help us to remember that all the differences in the world are what make us unique and not make us wrong. Help us, Jesus, to not make judgments on others. And teach us to love one another no matter what. Amen. Thanks, gang. Looks like you got plans. And you tall people, it is that time, so the more you can have your little people here to help so that they get an idea what's going on with the program, the better. So, as Grandma gets things settled, go, Grandma, go! If you'd rise, if you're able, and let's join in singing hymn 96, "O for a Thousand Tongues I Sing."
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. This is why Christ did not go into a tent made by humans and was only a copy of the real one. Instead, he went into heaven and is now there with God to help us. Christ did not have to offer himself many times. He wasn't like a high priest who goes into the most holy place each year to offer the blood of an animal. If he had offered himself every year, he would have suffered many times since the creation of the world. But instead, near the end of time, he offered himself once and for all, so he could be a sacrifice that does away with sin. We die only once, and then we are judged. So Christ died only once to take away the sins of many people. But when he comes again, it will not be to take away sin. He will come to save everyone who is waiting for him. Our second reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As Jesus was teaching, he said, "Guard against the teachers of the law of Moses. They love to walk around in long robes and be greeted in the market. They like the front seats in the synagogues and the best seats at banquets. But they cheat widows out of their homes and pray long prayers just to show off. They will be punished most of all." Jesus was sitting in the temple near the offering box and watching people put in their gifts. He noticed that many rich people were giving a lot of money. Finally, a poor widow came up and put in 2 coins worth only a few pennies. Jesus told his disciples to gather around him. Then he said, "I tell you that this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Everyone else gave what they didn't need, but she is very poor and gave everything she had. Now she doesn't have a cent to live on." Here ends the reading of our Holy Scriptures.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Ms. Cosgrove. Allow me a moment of time of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I speak, and that you have guided my thoughts and given me words to say that will touch our hearts and change our lives. I pray that you would use this message to draw those who hear it closer to you and help us all grow in faith. Amen. So we're going to talk about the Mark reading. And as we were getting this together at the media group, one of the people looked and said, "You know, what's the theme? What were we going to talk about?" And that person responded, "Well, that's simple. The verse is about giving. Giving what you got." And I can't disagree with that. However, like always, I think there's other meanings hidden in there. So let's take a look at a few of those. One of those I see is that we're talking about judgmental people. The first part of the reading speaks of people who love to walk around in long robes and be greeted in the market. They want the front seats at the synagogues and the best seat at banquets. They pray the long prayers to show off. They feel they're above the rest. Okay, let's change that to 2024. They have the brand new suits and dresses. Their car sparkles and is not more than 2 years old. You always see them at every get-together in Waupun. They're in the front row, so that you always see the back of them and never the front of them. There is no such thing as a table near the kitchen, and probably, I love all the restaurants from Waupun, but they're probably not good enough for those people. And when they talk as if they know everything and you know nothing. This I see as a judgmental individual. But in reading it some more, thinking about it, maybe they're just not judgmental, but they're show-offs. Narcissistic, whatever term you want to use. They need to have the world see how good they are, how rich they are, how important they are. I think we all know some people like this. You know the type. Look at me. See how good I am? You see my car outside? Check out this Rolex. Officer, do you really want to do this? Do you know who my friends are? I can get you fired like that. Maybe not to that extreme, but you know these people. None of them are sitting here. But if you are, pay attention. These people often always compare themselves to others. And lo and behold, the ones they compare themselves to are usually not up to their standards. Sounds like a real Christian way of life, doesn't it? Not in a million years. I got this belief that humans are hardwired to be judgmental in a way. I mean, from the beginning of the time, you had to make a decision, which is a judgment. Will I eat this or will it eat me? We make decisions all the time. We make judgments. You take time to go over the pros and cons and you come up with an opinion. That's kind of the way it's supposed to work. But somewhere along the line lately, we get into the idea that you don't need any additional information. One source or even no source, because you know it all. And we become scared of differences. If a group's not like us, they're wrong, or something about them is wrong. You're brown. You're a woman. You talk funny. You walk funny. You're in love with people that I'm not in love with. Well, you know, since it's not the way I go, you're wrong. Another great Christian way, huh? Nope. Last Sunday, Jacob talked and we listened, and I gave a talk at the senior center, the Christian home. There are seniors there, by the way. That we have to love God with all we have, and we have to love our neighbor. How can you do that if you're one of these individuals who's looking down on everybody? That's not love. In fact, I think that borders on almost hate. And then there's a second half of the reading. Jesus and his disciples were at the temple, and they were watching the offering being taken. And Jesus discussed the differences in the worshipers' giving. Okay, a couple of you glazed over and a couple of you are giving me dirty looks. This isn't going to be a sermon about giving. This isn't going to be a sermon about what we need and what we have. No spiel about spending or giving. Instead, I want to go further into that part and what Jesus said and what was going on. He noted that many of the folks were giving what they really didn't need, what was laying around, their extra cash. And then this woman comes up. Jesus describes her as a widower who's not well off, who's on a fixed income. And yet when she comes to the offering plate, she gives a measly amount. But this measly amount could be all her life savings. Not just what she had laying around, she gave what she has. And from the reading and reading between the lines, I get the impression that this woman was looked down upon because others gave what they thought, what they judged, was so little. And to make you think a little more, I'm not even sure this parable is even about money. What I believe Jesus was really talking about is that your interactions with God and your faith should not be whatever time or effort you have left over, but that you should be giving your all. And your all is determined by what's in your heart and with God, not for those in the elegant robes sitting in the best seats to decide for you. So when we leave here today, let's not just drop everything that we've discussed and what's in your head as you go through the doors. Let me give you a couple things to think about. If you don't need to make an immediate decision or an immediate judgment, don't. It's beneficial to get additional information, to take time, depending on what the decision is, to maybe cool off a little, and get all that you can before you make that judgment or make that decision. In fact, talk to people who disagree with you, because that could enlighten you into a whole different thing. It also helps when you're looking at those other people. We're in Waupun. Pretty much everybody has a car. You drive 10 minutes outside of town, there's fields full of food. There's fast food restaurants, there's grocery stores. For a little town, there's a lot going for it. But yet, as Alana pointed out, we have a food pantry. And through meetings that I have in this town, I get to talk to Mr. Spalgi a lot. And there is a lot of people who need stuff in this town. Did you ever think that in Waupun we'd have homeless, hungry, or needing people? No. That's Milwaukee, that's Madison. Maybe even Fond du Lac. But Waupun and Beaver Dam, that's never going to happen. It's their people. And a lot of these people are living just day to day. They're giving their all just to survive. We need a chance to examine ourselves. When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror before you brush your teeth, talk to that person you see. Take a look inside and see if your interactions with God and your faith, or just when you got a little spare time, nothing else to do, let's talk to God, or let's, you know, read a Bible thing or something. Or are your interactions with God and your faith in the forefront of your life? Only you can answer that. And ask yourself, which is more important? The way the world sees me, or the way God sees me? I think you know the answer to that one. The only thing we should probably be judging one another about is, does that person have a good heart? Is that person a person filled with grace and love? Pretty much any other judgment, for the most part, is not ours to take. So how about some guidelines and some help? Here's a few that came to mind for me today. They'll sound familiar from other things, I think. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do not covet your neighbor's property, nor basically anything that is thy neighbor's. Should have brought this up to the last service. Covet? Good old world. Basically, I want what they have. That's covet. And I'm going to do what I need to do to get that. That's stealing. That too is a no-no. Another guideline. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. Easy to say, a lot to think about. Perfect person, Jesus. Didn't do anything wrong. And yet God dumps him on this earth, filled with people who don't agree with him, don't like him. Not to get into some of the other stuff that we had the other day, but politicalness, Romans, and et cetera, that really didn't agree with what he was doing. Basically made a perfect person live and suffer the way we have to. If that isn't somebody who gives a darn and cares about us, I don't know what is. Because Jesus didn't do anything to deserve that. We are saved by grace. And this may sound familiar too to you. What you hold here on earth, that's going to rust, wither away, and disappear. Instead, collect what you truly hold valuable for yourself and others, and send that to heaven. And in heaven, there aren't moths or rust or dust. And there aren't thieves there to break in and take what's yours. In simple words, don't try to show humankind your worldly riches. Instead, why don't you show the world how rich your life is with God in it? Keep God in your life and foremost in your life. Don't put God in your faith in a cupboard or behind a piece of glass to break in case of an emergency. Not a bad way to live. Last Sunday, love everyone, even your enemies. This Sunday, something you don't necessarily always hear from up here, and I'm going to probably have a little discussion with this on the way home, but this Sunday, don't be a pompous jerk. Be a Christian. And I've said it before, and it's just great writings, and sometime I should find out who actually wrote the hymn, but let them know you are a Christian by what you do and what you say. Then they'll truly know who you are. Amen. And if you would give me a second, because technology is a wonderful thing, except when it burps. So, the old-fashioned way says we're supposed to sing now. So does the computer. Score! So, if you could rise if you're able, hymn 136, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And if you are up to it, add enough volume that the people over at St. Joe's know what we're talking about. Not too bad. Good work. If you'd be seated. We come now to a time of prayer. So, to start out, let's take a deep breath. Let it out. Clear your mind. And let's take a moment of silent prayer where we offer up to God things that we are too worried, too scared, too unsure to say out loud, but that we need to tell him. So let's take a moment. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm probably doing things out of order, but you're a flexible group. I like that. We have times for prayer of joys and concerns, and we'll do that responsibly as we always do. I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and you will say? Perfect. So, for the people, today, or I should not say today, tomorrow is Veterans Day. Memorial Day is here for considering and thinking and caring for those that didn't come back. Veterans Day is for those that did come back. And those that I'm talking about are those that decided to go out and become members of our armed forces and do what they need to do to protect the world and try to make it a better place. So for the veterans that are in our community and in our lives, Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. I'm going to really get hurt next Sunday about this, but one of our parishioners, Diane Prey, today is 77 years old. Lord, for Diane's life and time with that crazy husband of hers, Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. For the Wallendahl family, who is going through troubles and strife, and show us how fragile the life that we feel is safe and secure can be, Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. And now to things that tug at our heart. Chrissy Whitehouse sent a memo out to me and Jacob. She has two families that she is connected with. One is the Black family, and their little one needs to have heart surgery. Lord, give the doctors and nurses courage and strength to deal with such a little one's major problems. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. And then there is an Ortiz family whose little one decided that this world wasn't what they were hoping and decided to go back to God. Lord, give the Ortizes strength and courage and love and hold them close in your heart. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. And I'm going to probably get part of this wrong, but Doris Hahn, who is related to Deb Sauer's family and whose great-grandchildren are here with Deb, left recently and went to her eternal home. So for Deb, the ones that are here, and the ones that are home, and all of the Sowers and Hans and everyone else that is interrelated, give them comfort, courage, strength, and love. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Do you folks have anything to add? Do you electronic folks have anything to add?
Pray for unity.
Lord, many things have made us separate people. Not just politics, but many things that are on this world. Those differences I talked to us earlier about. Help us, Lord, so that we may be one people, not a group of subsections fighting amongst each other. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Anything else? So then let's join in prayer. Dear God, we come to you with hearts filled with gratitude and anticipation. We thank you for the abundance of your blessings, for the beauty of your creation, for the gift of life itself. As the leaves change color and the air turns crisp, help us to embrace this change with open hearts and minds, and to find joy in the simple things. We pray for those who are struggling during this time. Comfort those who are grieving. Give strength to those who are facing challenges. Help us to be a source of support and hope for one another, and to reach out to those in need in any way. We especially pray for Barbara, Chanda, Charlene, Harriet, Kevin, Lynn, Michelle, Mike H. and Mike V., the Reynoldses, Roger, Teresa, Wanda and Warren, for the Black family, and we share in our grief of the Ortizes, the Sowers, the Hans. And we ask that you give strength and courage to the Wallendahl family. We ask for your guidance and wisdom. Help us to make wise choices, to live with purpose, and to be faithful stewards of all that you have entrusted unto us. May this fall be a time of growth, both spirituality and personally. May we grow closer to you and to one another. And may we use our gifts and our talents in ways that will glorify your name. We pray this all in your name and ask you to look into our hearts as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come now to a time of service. And I note that, you know, as the seasons draw near and Christmas and Thanksgiving come, there's going to be a lot of asking of you people. Please don't get charity overload. Remember that there is so much that we can do and so much that we can offer. Let us take a time to offer up our gifts, whether they be time, talent, or treasure.
Thank you.
rise.
Praise God, bro.
And if we'd all join our prayer of gratitude, dear God, as we reflect on the countless blessings in our lives, our hearts overflow with gratitude, your incredible love, generosity. We thank you for the gifts you are giving. Please accept these tokens, allow them in their benefit to multiply and to help this world in residence. I probably have used this before. I really, really like it at the end of the service. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who are concerned, I'm doing good on time. I don't know if Jacob has to go through this, but this service and the service before, you know, let's keep it going. Guys, it's church. I'll get it done. If you're really bored, I'll come and talk to you. So let's join our final hymn of Blessed Be the Time. What it says up there.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred mind. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent breath, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our
Still a little something different again, but I think you'll be okay with it. Instead of the standard benediction, I'm going to read you a poem that was sent to me. It's from Pastor Steve Garnes Holmes. He's a retired Methodist minister who now lives in Maine. I think it fits good with the sermon, and I think it fits good with what's all happening. We live by hope. Hope is not an anticipation of a certain outcome, but it's trusting goodness. The root and center of all things is an abiding goodness, powerful and eternal. Despite all danger and evil, all fear and hurt, that goodness and that grace endures. We trust in it, and that's our hope. Hope has survived war and tyranny. It has also, at times, prevented them. Trust that love, more powerful than fear, that grace which never forsakes us. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. This trust, it's not wishing for something, it's knowing. And this, my friends, is hope. Blessings to you all. Amen.